Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, Hiranyakasipu, King of the Demons, text number 41. Bhutani, Bhutani tastair nijayoni karmabir. Bhavanti kale nabhavanti sarvasha. Na tatra hatma prakritava pistitas. Tasya gunair anyatamo hi bhajate. Translation. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the material body. Please repeat. Every conditioned soul, receives a different type of body. According to his work.
According to his work.
And when the engagement is finished,
the body is finished.
Although the spirit soul,
is situated
in subtle and gross material bodies,
in different forms of life,
he is not bound by them. For he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord. To become free from material bondage of repeated birth and death. Parenthesis. Svakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhing vindati manava. The Lord is always ready to give directions. Indeed, his directions are elaborately given in the Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of these directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original consciousness. Mam eva ye prapajyante, mayam etam tarantite. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme and that if we surrender to Him, He will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the order of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Chapter, text 41. Bhutani tas tire nija yoni karma bir. Bhavanti kale na bhavanti sarvasha. Natatra hatma prakritav apishtitas. Tasya gunair anyatamo hi budjate. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. So, we're continuing from the verses that we've studied in the last few days, of course, constantly through the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this information, this instruction, is repeated throughout the Vedas, and it is the essential teaching of the Absolute Truth, teaching of the Vedas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa and Sanatana Goswami on these principles of the Vedas with a view to giving a clear understanding with a clear central theme around which all of the teachings of the Vedas can be organized and understood. And of course, we know by good fortune, being in the disciplic succession extending from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what that central theme is. It is the theme of Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. It is the Bhakti Yoga theme, and the essence of the Bhakti Yoga theme is given by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita in the conclusion after 18 chapters of instructions, Sarva Dhammam Parityajya Mamikam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Shami Masuchaha. So in this essence, all of the Vedas can be found. All of the Vedic teachings can be found in this essence. But it is important for us to understand, in order to understand the essence and to be able to actually practice, because Vedic knowledge is not armchair speculation of the materialistic philosopher. Vedic knowledge must be understood on the intellectual platform, but we are to go beyond the intellectual platform onto the level of full realization. The knowledge of materialistic science can be understood and applied to create facility to exploit the resources of material nature. But it does not give realization of the spirit soul. It does not give spiritual realization. As a matter of fact, it covers the spirit soul more. But Vedic knowledge is to be understood and applied not for exploiting the resources of material nature for sense enjoyment, but for liberating the spirit soul from the encagement into which he has fallen, and for which he is suffering samsara, Every morning we pray. Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka Chanaya Karuna Ganaganavtam Praptasya Kalyana Gunarnavasya Vande Guroshi Charanaravindam. Samsara means an ocean. It is an ocean into which we have fallen. An ocean made of material nature, of matter. Earth, air, fire, water, and ether. False ego, mind, and intelligence. And it is a foreign place for us. So these are the... We'll go a little further on that theme, but before leaving the point of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know these things because we're in the disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we take them as being clear and self-evident, which they are. Prior to the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were not so clear and self-evident. The learned Brahmins and the philosophers and sannyasis and yogis studied the Vedas, but the import of the Vedas was not clear. Would you like to see? Okay. Grihastha should not speak in the presence of sannyasi, but only if ordered. Okay. So they were engaged in the study of the Vedas. And people were trying to follow. But it was a time of confusion. And foreign religions were invading India and had invaded. The Buddhist system had been very prominent. And at that time, the system of religion coming from the Western countries in the form of the followers of Islam was spreading in India. And the Vanashram system had become very rigid. And the people were bewildered. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and he studied the Vedas very extensively. Of course, he's the author of the Vedas. Vedais Chasarvair Aham Eva Vidya. He's the source of the Vedas. But he, for the sake of, he says to Arjuna, if I did not engage in work, all this world will be put to ruination. So for the sake of leading others and for the sake of the proper performance of his own duties, of which he has none, he has no duties, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Radha and Krishna. So their only duty, they have no duty. They only enjoy. That is their only business, is enjoyment. But for the sake of others, he accepts these so-called duties. So he engaged in the study of the Vedas, and then he presented this perfect and clear understanding of the Vedas to his dear followers, Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, from which we receive. In the disciplic succession, we receive these teachings. We have the great acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, so many others. And our Bhaktivinod Thakur, he was a follower of Rupa Goswami. Although separated by time, he was a direct follower of Rupa Goswami. And he gave these teachings to his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, who, of course, was, as we discussed in the last 2 days, his influence is so powerful that even though his disappearance day was 2 days ago, we still cannot avoid his being conscious of such a personality. He is like the sun. So how do you avoid being conscious of the sun? But he was on the personal staff of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It has not been described exactly who he was. It is not for us to know. For us to know that would not help our Krishna consciousness particularly. It would just be a curiosity for us. But sufficient to know, he was on the personal staff of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he, like Sukadeva Goswami, when the parrot bites the fruit, after which the fruit becomes more sweet. So it was said of Sukadeva Goswami that he would take the message of his predecessors, and when he spoke it, it became more sweet. Therefore, he was Sukadeva Goswami. So Bhakti Siddhanta took the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this essential, because the Vedas are vast. And he took the essential message, and he, from Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta, and then he made it more palatable. More palatable, more adapted, more understandable. Because as the Kali Yuga progresses, Manda, Sumanda, Mutayo. We become more and more covered by the influence of the Tama Gun. And so our intelligence is covered, our memory is lost. We are small in stature, we have no energy. And if we ever take up spiritual life, it takes us forever to make progress. And even when we get realization, we discard it for some rubbish in the street. We see it. So manda sumanda mutayo. So seeing this, Bhakti Siddhanta made it more understandable. More boiling the milk. More sweet. More clear, more obvious how to practice it, so that we take it for granted. Oh, sarva dharma parityaja. Oh, surrender to Krishna. We take it as, oh, that's ABCs. But prior to this time, it was hidden. This information was carefully hidden in the Vedas, to which such that it was not understandable, even by erudite scholars. And then following Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, made it so perfectly understandable that even persons who have no qualification, no good birth, no history of punya. In fact, only history of papa. The papis of the world could understand and take up this divine, pure, pristine, perfect mission coming directly from the spiritual world. And prior to this time, even erudite scholars, we have in the history, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was an incarnation of Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the spiritual master, the guru of the heavenly planets. It is, in astrology, Brihaspati is Jupiter. So Jupiter rules law, guru, knowledge, all these things, and the entire universe, when Indra and Chandra and Surya want to understand something in this universe, they go to Brihaspati. So he is used to giving instructions. So when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, young man, handsome, tall, very attractive, he thought, this boy will not possibly stay in the renounced order of life. I must give him some assistance. I'll give him some instructions. So Sarabhauma spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Vedas. Erudite, 7 days. He is Brihaspati himself. Such instruction, such understanding. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat very patiently, and after 7 days, Sarabhauma asked, you're hearing, but you don't ask any questions. You must not understand. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I can understand the Vedanta Sutra very well. I cannot understand your explanation. So Sarabhauma said, how is it? You can understand the Vedanta Sutra, but you cannot understand my explanation. Because you have given a very complicated explanation for the simple, direct meaning of the text. Then you please explain. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, and Sarabhauma was astounded. He immediately offered his humble respects at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He surrendered and became his dear devotee, because he could understand. Such explanations of the Vedas do not come from the mind of any person of this material world. We can try to understand, but the meaning of the Vedas is not to be understood simply by intellectual endeavor. This fire is in wood. You can analyze the wood. You can pick it up. You can look at it. You can turn it around. You will not see the fire, although it is there. It is contained within the wood. The wood has captured the fire which comes from Surya. It is captured through the leaves and brought into the wood. You cannot analyze it. You cannot see it. You cannot hear it. You can take a microscope. You'll not find it. But one who knows the science can extract the fire from the wood. Similarly, the Vedic knowledge cannot be had. The effect of Vedic knowledge cannot be had by study of the Vedas, nor by the performance of austerities, nor by pious deeds, nor by any other material or even quasi-material. It must be extracted by one who knows the science. And the person who knows the science par excellence is the author and object of Vedic knowledge, who has appeared in this age as the perfect Brahman. In the previous ages, he appeared according to the necessity. As Lord Krishna was raised as a Vaishya in the cowherd family of Vrindavan, Ramchandra was a perfect warrior, king. But at the present moment, the Vedas, having been lost, there's a wonderful verse by Rupa Goswami that Lord Chaitanya liked very much. this Vedic knowledge having been lost in the oblivion of time, you have appeared to bring it out again. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a Brahman to teach the world this pure essence of the Vedas. So, we may read, there are many, one devotee gave a class on Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day, this appearance day, discussed the various sampradayas. And there are many Vaishnava sampradayas, Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya, very, very wonderful Vaishnavas. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the Udupi Mat, it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that he said, he chastised them, that your only qualification is you know that Vishnu is supreme. Other than that, you have no qualification. Because the purport is given by Srila Prabhupada, they were a little proud. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to. So at the present moment, and there are so many religions in the world, and they are all bona fide to some extent because there's bhakti yoga. But to extract the pure essence of yoga practice, of religion, of transcendental knowledge, it comes through the transcendental medium of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, again, that was only the first half. So now we get to the verse. And the point being, how can we understand this verse? This verse gives the essence of Vedic knowledge. How can we understand this? Those of us here, we are deep in the Kali Yuga. Of course, you are in Bharatvarsha, so, and born here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives special credit to those who are born in Bharatvarsha. It is an extraordinary birth, not ordinary. But even in other parts of the world, people, we are understanding this verse, this information. And it is only by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, let's read the verse again. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. So as we were discussing yesterday, when one begins to climb, or in this case, receive the mercy to be able to come out of the lower modes of nature, then the Vedic scriptures give him understanding of the condition of life. And understanding the condition in which we find ourselves gives us the opportunity to gradually get out of the samsara. So these teachings are, as we said earlier, samsara dava nalalita loka. Chanaya karuna guna ganavtam. Like a rain cloud. If there is a fire, samsara is a fire. So we are all on fire. We are all being consumed by fire. So if we're in a forest fire, there's no question of happiness. But we are in this fire. The body is burning constantly. And we have to feed the body to keep the fire going. And in course of time, the body burns itself up. And then the body is finished. And then we take another body, again in fire. And we live in fire until the fire is put out. So guna ganavtam is the merciful cloud of rain which comes upon the fire and puts out the fire. So we are in this material nature, and it is important to understand where we are and how we arrived here. These teachings are given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan. This material world is a corner of the entire creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in 3/4 of this creation, just to give a gross because it's idea, it's not exactly, it is filled with unlimited Vaikuntha planets in which the living beings are perfect. They engage in loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes the living beings in that world, because the living beings are conscious, alive, superior to dead matter. We are in quality the same as the Supreme Person. We were discussing the other day, achinta, beta, abeta. We are the same energy as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is infinite. We are infinitesimal. So we are alive. We are conscious. We are not of the same energy of this material world, which is why we can't be happy here. Because we are not material. Any more than a fish can be happy on land, or we could be happy. Prabhupada gives the example. If you're flying over the ocean and someone drops you in the middle of the Indian Ocean, is there any possibility of happiness? There's no possibility of happiness. No matter what. Even if they drop you with a golden boat, eventually you'll be eaten by sharks. The ocean is full of sharks. You can't defend yourself. And eventually you'll die. There's no water for you to drink. No food. They give you millions of dollars in this boat. You'll never be happy. Similarly, because we are made of spiritual energy, a different quality, substantially different energy than matter, we can't be happy here. We can't be happy here, no matter what condition we find ourselves. Abrahma bhuvanal loka punar arvartano jana. From all the way to the top, climb up to become Lord Brahma if you like. You will still find dukalayam ashashvatam. It is dukala, certified by the creator of this universe. It is dukkha, distressful, because you don't belong here. But because we are spiritual, we are the same as the Supreme Lord. Every living thing, when you see life, you can understand the spiritual energy is present in every living thing, being. therefore, we are free. Life is free. Not, we're used to matter. We can't, sometimes in dreams, we fly up to the top of the room. And we hover and we fly around the city in our dreams. We are able to do that. That's the nature of spirit. But we are now bound by the false ego connected to this body. But in the spiritual world, there is no such bondage. If you want to travel from one planet to another, you may fly there. If you have a desire to create something, you can easily do it. You can do whatever you like. There is no restriction other than the constitutional restriction that we are the subordinate and Krishna is the dominant. And in the spiritual, in our natural state, we enjoy. The source of our pleasure is to be the subordinate. That is the source of nectar. Whereas for the karmi, the source of nectar is to be the dominant. The more I can be dominant, the more I can be famous, the more I can be the Ishwara, the more I am happy. That is the source of the perverted happiness of this world. The spiritual happiness comes from the more I can be lower, 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 subordinate, humble, 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 the more nectar comes out of the heart. And so much so, even Krishna cannot enjoy that nectar. There's that famous conversation where Rukmini, I think it was Rukmini, Srimati Rukmini Devi, and Srimati Radharani were discussing in private the happiness of surrender. And Krishna, he was eavesdropping. And so he said, so he interrupted. What is that you said? And so one of the gopis, queens, turned to Krishna. You cannot understand this. You don't need to listen. You cannot possibly understand. I cannot understand. I am supreme of understander. I've created everything. There's nothing I cannot understand. You cannot understand. So I must understand. How can I understand this happiness that you're experiencing? You must become a devotee. So that was that's the story that says it was the decision by the Lord to become the devotee in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the soul is free other than to, it cannot free to avoid the constitutional reality. So being free, we may give up our happiness. Sometimes we see a crazy person. They'll have money and they'll just crazily throw it away. Just out of just craziness. Sometimes they have to be protected. Sometimes there are institutions to protect people from harming themselves. There are elaborate programs in Western law. Sometimes someone will inherit money and they'll squander. It's called spendthrift. So they'll create special arrangements so that the person can't destroy their fortune. Because with free will, we can throw away that which we have. People do it. So in the spiritual world, that also can happen. So there must be a place for such persons to throw away their inheritance, to throw away their birthright, to throw away what they have. And here it is. And so we have come here. So, and we knew, and we know what is available here. We know, in the spiritual world, everyone has full knowledge, Sat Chit Ananda. So before we came, Krishna showed us, this is it. And if you go there, you become subject to the laws of karma. And when you get subject to the laws of karma, you'll have good karma and bad karma. And you'll die, and you'll be reborn. It's okay, I want to do it. Because I just want to taste. Just as Krishna wanted to taste the happiness of being a devotee, we wanted to taste the happiness of being the Lord. And Krishna said, you cannot understand this. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. It's not your constitutional position. No, I want to do it. Well, you can't lord it over the spiritual energy because in the spiritual energy, you are essentially Prakriti. That's what you are. We can't change that. So we'll have to create an inferior energy for you to lord it over. So there it is. Here we are. And so when bad things happen to us, we blame God. How can we blame God? That is illusion. We knew. It's not God's fault. The material energy is inferior. It must be inferior. And it's by nature subject to the laws of karma. So we come here, we get subject to the law of karma. And then gradually in the process, invariably, jivo jivasa jivanam. You want to be the Lord? Who's going to be your subjects? Well, so you be the Lord, I'll be your subject. I'll be the Lord, you be my subject. And neither one of us is the Lord. So we go like this, and we cycle birth and death. But when I'm lording over you, sometimes I'll commit offenses. And when you lord over me, sometimes you commit offenses. It's inevitable. And when those offenses are committed, then they create a reaction. And when there's a reaction, then we suffer. And we blame God. So, this is our predicament. But the soul, of course, as we discussed yesterday, is never subject to these laws of material nature because the soul is superior energy. And God is not subjected to the law of karma. We're the same as God. Only He is infinite and we're infinitesimal. So we're not subject to the law of karma. So no need to blame God for our suffering. Why? Because we're not really suffering. In Mayavadis also, they give the example, if you see a rope and you think it's a snake, now you're afraid. But it's illusory fear. There's no snake. So we think, I'm suffering, oh my God. My son has died. In this example, the wives, my husband has died. It's horrible. It is horrible. A snake is a horrible thing. But there really is no snake. Death is a horrible thing. Pain is a horrible thing. But really there is no death. There really is no pain. There is no distress for the spirit soul. But so long as we have not come back to our identity as spirit soul, then we're subject to this illusory suffering. And it's no use really to say it's illusory, because for one who is suffering, it's very real. It is very real. But by this simple method that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, we can get back into our original identity, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. We can achieve that. It's the same process. It's no different. That verse, Rupa Goswami. This process is eternal process. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyovidu. It's not changed. Rupa Goswami says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you saw this eternal process having been lost in the oblivion of time. Vairagya vidya nidya bhakti yoga. You have brought it back and given it an easy form. So kind. So here we are, all of us, now in this historic moment. This historic moment. Because this movement will spread, continue. It can't be stopped because it's spiritual. Now, it is superior energy. This whole movement is made of superior energy. These deities, these are not, this is not marble. These are not marble. This temple room is not marble and wood. It may have that, just like the body. This body is made of earth, air, fire, water, and ether. But this person here is not earth, air, fire, water, and ether. The person here is superior energy. So this room, these deities, are superior energy. This Hare Krishna movement is superior energy. We individually and even collectively may choose to dive back into material energy for some time. That is our choice. We always have that choice. But this movement that was brought by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is superior energy. There's nothing material that can stop it. So it will expand. It will continue to expand. So we are here at a very historic moment. We are so fortunate. We have been given the opportunity to render service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even in our short lifespan, we can reach back to our spiritual identity. Kalau dosha Nidhi Rajan, Yasti Yeka Mahangana, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Parang Vrajate. And this ocean, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. But within this ocean, there's one wonderful thing. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. This Krishna Kirtan. Mukta Sangha Parangvajate, very easily will it award this mukti, or the liberation from the clutches of the material energy, modes of nature, gunai. The soul is then transferred. The false ego is dissolved. Transcendental knowledge appears automatically, without separate endeavor. And in its wake, in the wake of transcendental knowledge, comes vairagya. Vairagya, automatically, it also comes. Detachment from this material world. Very easily. In no time. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Forgive me, Maharaj, speaking in your presence. Would you like to add any corrections? Yes.
Prabhuji, you are explaining that this knowledge was kept confidential before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So, now the Vedas themselves are often compared to a manual. For now, a manual generally is supposed to be clear. So why is the Vedic knowledge kept confidential or ambiguous, as you are explaining?
It is a dark age. And so, up until the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but even then, there was Madhavendra Puri and Ishwar Puri. But in this age, it is the Vedic knowledge is hidden. This is the cycle of, why is it cold in winter? Why does it get cold in winter? That's the arrangement of material nature. So there are living beings who want the Kali Yuga. They want it. That's when they want to engage in their activities without any guilt. The Vedas will make them feel guilty. So to fulfill their desire, the Lord creates the Kali Yuga, in which Vedic knowledge is hidden. It's described that the clouds sometimes will come and cover the stars, and so they can't be seen. Even the moon can't be seen. So this is the arrangement of material nature. You can also say that sometimes Prabhupada used to say, without hard struggle, what is the question of glorious victory? So it's like saying, why did the Lord allow Shishupal? Why did the Lord allow Shishupal to come so close to marrying Rukmini? Why did he make that arrangement? So that he could enjoy saving her. And she could enjoy being saved by him. So why did the Lord allow such darkness to come? So that he could enjoy coming and dispelling the darkness, and we could enjoy being saved by him. Any other? Yes, sir.
Thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you.
So, the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that in order to develop unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, we must respect, and we must also hear attentively whatever we hear. Whereas one may struggle to be attentive when one goes through the different pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. At times, we are not in a position to respect what we hear. Sometimes we feel that this doesn't appeal to the conscience or something like that. So how does one attain that stage where we respect every word that we hear and we are attentive also simultaneously?
Not only respect, but we must attain the stage that... Who is it? There was one famous story One devotee was unable to read the Srimad Bhagavatam because whenever he would read the Bhagavatam, he would cry. And his tears would fall upon the pages and wet, and so he couldn't. So he was feeling inconvenience. So it should be that every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read it, we cry. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly while I chant your holy name? When will my words be choked up? And when will all the hairs of my body have eruptions? One of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe it was Bhakti Siddhanta, said, "Why do you call me devotee? I cannot possibly be devotee. If I was devotee, I could not speak but the name of Krishna. And as soon as I speak the name of Krishna, I will not be able to speak if I was really devotee." So we are not on this platform because we are still covered by the Rajas Tamas conditioning. That is all. Once a person becomes a devotee, surrenders externally even to the spiritual master, material life finished. Now, once it was asked to Prabhupada, "Are any of your god brothers liberated?" "All of my god brothers are liberated." There really is no difference between the newest devotee and the greatest devotee. All devotees. Radharani sees everyone better devotee than she is. But still, there is the Prakriti Bhakta from another point of view. A devotee who is still not quite purified. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. It doesn't require any external endeavor. Once the sun appears on the horizon, it's only a matter of time before it is fully manifest. But if you're impatient, you may become a little disturbed. When is it going to come? Especially on Ekadasi, because you can't eat until Devadasi, till the sun is up. When is it coming? So we may be like that. We begin the process of devotional service. And so sometimes we may find a little disturbance of the mind, even in our chanting or reading of Srimad Bhagavatam or associating with other devotees or engaged in our service. And sometimes we see, even we may fall away for some time. Heaven forbid that that would happen to anyone, but it happens. But it is not important in an ultimate analysis. It is temporary. By chanting and by reading, your question is perfect. Your question is perfectly answered by Sukadeva Goswami. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobadayastiye cheta etar anavijam stitam satve prasidati. Simply by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting of Hare Krishna mantra or any of these, this Hare Krishna movement is living Bhagavatam. It is the river of Bhagavatam. So simply by getting into this river, tada rajas, this tamagun and rajagun, which are the source of that, they are the only cause of why we don't feel transcendental ecstasy every time we say the word Krishna. That is the only reason. And these things are dissolved. They're just dissolved. It's like you put some chemical on something and it's just going to dissolve. It will dissolve. And be careful not to create more tamas, rajas. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're foolish. We're so foolish we came here from the spiritual world. So naturally we're here. We'll still do foolish things from time to time. And if we do that, then don't be discouraged. Because the process is very strong. Just keep going. And it will all be purified away. And when it is purified, then your heart is like a mirror, and it will perfectly reflect reality. And it reflects reality, you'll see Krishna. When you see Krishna, then your heart will melt and finished. Material life finished.
Prabhuji, can you please share with us how you came into Krishna consciousness and met Srila Prabhupada?
Well, everyone knows Kirtananda Swami, right? He came and visited me. Kirtananda Swami came to visit me when I was in college, and he came and I was a... In college, I was supposed to study, but I became the social chairman of my fraternity. So that's what I learned the most in college, as a social chairman. I learned how to put on big events. But they were, you know, rock and roll events. But I learned how to do that. So somehow when Kirtananda Swami and the devotees from New Vrindavan visited my city, Krishna sent them to me. They stayed in my house, and so I arranged to put on a big event for them. And I knew how to do it well. So it was very successful. So they were very pleased with that. So they gave me their blessings. And then I met Prabhupada from that and became a devotee. So by the blessings of the devotees, that's how I met Prabhupada. Any other questions? I guess we're out of time, huh? One more.
Rupa Goswami talks about utsaha, nishaya, dhairya. And they're talking so much about mode of passion and ignorance. How do we make sure that our enthusiasm is not actually a mode of passion, and the patience is not actually mode of ignorance?
Well, there are two answers to that. The first question, because there's really two questions. First question on Rajas. My friend Rupanuga once wrote to Prabhupada, how do I control anger? How can I control anger? And Prabhupada wrote back, oh, there's something you're not using in Krishna's service? So, on the utsaha, sometimes as devotees, we want to manifest the qualities of the great souls in ourselves very quickly. So there's something called the Messiah complex in the Christians. That we are so amazed that we've become devotees. And we assume, especially a neophyte devotee, advanced devotee thinks, only by the grace of Krishna have I become devotee. A neophyte devotee thinks, oh, I must be a great soul. Otherwise, how have I come to this Krishna consciousness? So we say, I'm a great soul, therefore I must have the qualities of the great soul. It doesn't happen like that. The Tada Rajas, we bring these things. We bring these things with us. And so they must be used in Krishna service. So the spiritual master gives direction how the conditioned soul from his own... We've been given these bodies. So from our own position, how to use our natural inclination, whether it be tada, rajas, whatever, in Krishna service, and then it becomes purified. The old saying that you remove a thorn with a thorn. So you don't have to be Rupa Goswami to engage in Krishna service. You just be who you are. You can't be anyone other than who you are anyway. So you be who you are and you engage yourself in the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. Then you'll be purified. Arjuna could not be other than a warrior. We cannot be Arjuna. But he was not Rupa Goswami. So we have to be who we are. Now, is the energy actually Krishna? Or because if you take the mode of passion and ignorance and you engage it in Krishna's service, it becomes purified. And it becomes transcendental. But if you pretend that you're engaged in Krishna's service and you're actually under the direction of Tada Rajas, then it becomes a farce. If someone says, I'm going to smoke ganja, sometimes the hippies just say, I will offer my... One hippie asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I offer my ganja to Krishna? Prabhupada, no. Krishna will not accept. Oh, I'm in the mode of ignorance, therefore I have to eat meat. So I'll offer my meat to Krishna. No. So, Phalena Parikshite, you have to judge by the result, under the direction of the spiritual master. The spiritual master will teach us, because we are still conditioned. The spiritual master will teach us how to engage our conditioned state in the service of the Lord. For example, Prabhupada did not tell me to take sannyas. He knew I was not qualified. Never. I mentioned it to him one time. He laughed at me. He told me, go to law school. That he engaged my tada rajas. And I'll struggle. So if we're in the mode of passion and ignorance, we'll struggle some. And sometimes the modes will cause us troubles. But the spiritual master is very expert. Others, he gave sannyas. You take sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he made them renunciates. Others, he sent back to their villages. Go back to your village. You're a farmer, go back to your village, be a farmer. Go back, do what your someone's a business. Prabhupada had some devotees stay business people. So I guess the answer is that whatever modes we are in, we have to engage in Christian service under the direction of the senior devotee, the spiritual master. And then it will be purified. And then we'll know. And then we'll have utsaha. And we can have utsaha from the beginning sometimes. Yes. Can be. But generally speaking, utsaha comes automatically when the passion and ignorance are removed. In the meantime, we have to get enthusiasm from wherever we can. Once the Prabhupada was asked, how do you be enthusiastic? Prabhupada said, you cannot accomplish anything without enthusiasm. Nothing. So they said, well then Prabhupada, how can we be enthusiastic? And he said, by being enthusiastic. It's free. Enthusiasm is a freedom of the soul. You can grab it. And actually it comes from, you know where enthusiasm comes from? Yeah. Some know. It's a Greek word. And it means theos is God. So enthusiasm means God within. So when you contact God within, you immediately become enthusiastic. And when you become enthusiastic, you're contacting God within. That is God's energy. Okay. Jai Hare Krishna, Jai Hare Bol.